make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Grab the oil, gasoline. I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
So let's start it up.
Start it up.
This is the Quality News Network. The House Ethics Committee has released its report on the investigation into how congressional leaders handled the Mark Foley Page scandal. The report concluded that GOP leaders did not break any rules, but they were negligent in protecting the male teenagers who received sexually inappropriate electronic messages from former Republican congressmen. Florida law officials are still conducting a criminal investigation of Foley's conduct. The 109th Congress came to a close today. The House vote on a controversial tax and trade package, which would authorize drilling for oil and gas in the Gulf of Mexico, was delayed because members could not reach a compromise. Outgoing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld made a final farewell today after nearly 6 years in office. In the speech, he said his worst day was when he learned of the Abu Ghraib prisoner abuse in Iraq. Two human rights groups representing several former detainees of Iraqi and Afghani prisons are suing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld along with other Pentagon top officials for dereliction of duty and command. After meeting with congressional leaders and the Iraq study group this week, President Bush is expected to announce his decisions about Iraq in a speech scheduled before Christmas. The latest AP Ipsos poll this week shows public dissatisfaction with the president's handling of the Iraq war at 71%, an all-time high. Only 27% of Americans approve of how President Bush is conducting the Iraq war, down from the November low of 31%. In Iraq, northwest of Baghdad, the U.S. military said 20 insurgents linked to al-Qaeda were killed by U.S.-led coalition forces today. Several weapons stockpiles were also destroyed. The exodus of Iraqis to nearby countries such as Jordan and Syria is causing a humanitarian crisis and putting a strain on those countries' economic and social services, according to a report this week from an advocacy group, Refugees International. As part of the new federal anti-terrorist program, all U.S.-bound cargo from container ships originating from Pakistan, Honduras, and Southampton, England, will be scanned for hidden nuclear weapons. Some members of Congress want the program to be expanded worldwide. The first woman to be the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Jean Kirkpatrick, has died at her home in Bethesda, Maryland. She was 80 years old. Kirkpatrick served from 1981 to 1985 under President Ronald Reagan. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Friday, December 15th, 8 o'clock. The Golden State Theater is proud to present two-time Grammy winner vocalist Diane Schur. You've heard her perform with Dizzy Gillespie, Stan Getz, the Count Basie Orchestra, and Ray Charles. Now, don't miss Diane Schur in a quintet setting Friday, December 15th, 8 o'clock. Diane Schur has performed to sold-out audiences around the world. Diane possesses a 3.5-octave range and has been called the new First Lady of Jazz. The historic Golden State Theater is located at 417 Alvarado Street in downtown Monterey. Tickets for Diane Schur and her quintet are just $29 and $39. For reservations, call 372-3800. The historic Golden State Theater proudly presents Diane Schur and her quintet Friday, December 15th, 8 o'clock. 831-372-3800. And on the web, www.goldenstatetheater.com.
A top hurricane researcher says the 2007 Atlantic hurricane season will have above-average activity. He predicted 3 major hurricanes out of 14 named storms. NASA is now looking at Saturday evening as the day to try to launch the space shuttle Discovery. Last night's launch was called off due to bad weather at Cape Canaveral, Florida. Every time NASA cancels a planned launch, it costs the agency $500,000. The unemployment rate in November rose to 4.5%. According to the Labor Department, 132,000 jobs were added in the month. Several news outlets are reporting that Bank of America may buy London-based banking company Barclays. Neither company will comment. Today, European Union regulators began an antitrust probe into the $2 billion proposed deal between Universal Music Group and BMG Music Publishing. Once again, there is talk about a possible merger between the two giants of satellite radio, Sirius and XM. Executives from Sirius have cited benefits that would come from the consolidation of the two companies. A survey of consumer confidence this holiday season finds that it decreased slightly in December as compared to last month. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $62.10 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was up 29 points at 12,307, the NASDAQ up 10, and the S&P 500 up 3. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay! Tokyo! South America!
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We've made it to the end of another week. It's Friday. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And let's start with some basic announcements first. If you are trying to get into the headonradionetwork.com website so you can listen to this program at this point in time, 6:06 and a half Eastern Standard Time, Friday, 8 December 2006, you're probably not having much luck. That is because the people who host our website are having problems. I don't know if they didn't feed the little squirrels that run on the treadmills, that turn the bands, that make the gears go. I don't know. But there's a problem with communications between this server and that server, and you know how it is when people, or apparently at this point in time, things just aren't talking to each other. Getting to talking to each other is part of what we're about here at the headonradionetwork.com, so you understand how critical it is. Of course, you know, it's worth remembering for future reference, if at any time you cannot get the stream at the headonradionetwork.com website, you can always go to whiterosesociety.org/kincaid.html and get the stream there. And that is any stream, that's any show on the network, not just mine. So, and don't forget another means of catching the program, and that is PhonoStar. It's a my understanding it's a German company, but they have it for download in English as well. PhonoStar, look for it on the website. Yeah, it's there's a link there, and I believe it's PhonoStar.de. PhonoStar.de. You know, we're constantly searching for new means by which you can join in the program and access the program. We're basically working on, like Pinky and like the brain says, trying to take over the world. Well, maybe that's a bit much. Maybe we'll just take over the internets. But that's the explanation for what's going on right now. No, but it is Friday. And that, there's a couple of news stories that have hit that are rather interesting, and one that I want to back up on because I didn't do it real justice last night. And then there are, you know, we have a bit of a milestone today.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Happy trails to you till we meet again.
That's right. Today we bid a fond farewell to the god-awful 109th Republican Congress as they shuffle like the dirtbags they are off into a sunset made more spectacular by the, among other things, filth that they pumped into the air during the 2 years of their reign. Goodbye, 109th Congress. Good riddance, you sleazy old bat. And the part of that song that says, "Till we meet again," this part...
clouds when we're together.
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.
It's as charitable as I can be. Honest to God, it is. God love you, live and be well, just don't ever try to govern anything again. I suppose our happy trails wishes extend also to Donald Rumsfeld. He had his last day on the job today. I'm not crying at all. Like I said, I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can because there is a big chunk of me that's just, go to hell, Donald Rumsfeld, go to hell, go, hurry, die. But I'm not doing that. I'm playing happy trails. I'm being nice. I'm being, wait a minute, what's the word the Republicans all want us to be now? I'm being bipartisan. Oh, Lord God, but, you know, a little reflection. A little reflection, if you will. You can do your own Rumsfeld reflecting. Just go look over the list of the American dead and the nameless list of some nearly 750,000 innocent Iraqi dead, and you've got a pretty good idea for what Donald Rumsfeld's legacy looks like. But where this god-awful 109th Congress is concerned, it bears examination. Among other things, they left a lot of work to be done. This is Yeah, this came up in conversation last night. It's a little bit like the claim that the Clinton administration stole all the W's on the keyboards when they left, and stole the China. Mm-hmm. Yep. And personally tarnished the silver, which was all a humongous lie. But in this case, it is the truth. Congress failed to pass the spending bills necessary to get to keep the government going. Nancy Pelosi has already remarked that they're going to leave a mess as they go out. It's been a do-nothing Congress, and as they go out the door, they're going to validate the decision of the American people that change was necessary. Who have they hurt? How about veterans? How about the education of our children? How about health? Health care? And for those of you who are concerned about it, law enforcement. This is a quote. It's a quote from Reuters, December 3rd. Ridiculed as the do-nothing 109th U.S. Congress, the Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives on Monday began a brief session to wrap. This was December 3rd, like I said. Approved the new defense secretary, blah, 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 blah. They failed to pass 9 of the 11 annual bills that fund government activities in the fiscal year that began October 1st. Farm subsidies, education, health, law enforcement are among the programs without full-year funding. To avert government shutdowns, 2 temporary spending bills have already been enacted. The latest expires on Friday. That would be today. And Congress is expected to pass a 3rd stopgap funding bill that would keep U.S. agencies running through February 15th. Early next year, as usual, it falls to the grown-ups, the Democrats, the normal people, the people who don't call Congress back. Does this just make you a little bit crazy when you realize that this gang of thugs, these ripigs, only work something like 88 days out of the year, and yet part of one of the days they were willing to work was Easter? Yeah. Tom DeLay and Denny Hastert and Bill Frist, those goobers, called Congress back into session on Easter to try to pass something that is constitutionally repugnant, namely a bill of attainder to keep a brain-dead woman whose brain resembled soup, really, plugged into life support. Amazing, isn't it? Simply amazing. They wouldn't work most of the time, but they were willing to work Easter so that they could compare Terry Schiavo to Jesus. Oof. It makes the head spin. Meanwhile, though, there are programs out there that will suffer. Well, a spokesman at Veterans for Foreign Wars, a guy named Joe Davis, says veterans programs will absolutely be hurt. He said the backlog of claims for medical, pension, and education benefits has swelled to... This is the backlog. This isn't all claims. This is the claims that have been ignored by the Bush administration's VA. When your number... Okay, calling number 4. Take a number, please. Number 4. Bueller! Meanwhile, there are Iraq War veterans holding number 773,622. Bueller! God. Now, the backlog of claims for medical, pension, and education benefits has swelled to more than 800,000. And that is up by some 37,000 from the similar time last year. So, I don't know. Maybe Happy Trails wasn't appropriate. Maybe Don't Let the Door Hit You on the Ass on the Way Out is more along the lines of what we want to be doing. But again, I'm trying to be charitable. I'm trying to be bipartisan. I'm trying to be kindly about all this. But God, isn't it good to see them gone? Of course, before this god-awful Congress came to an end, we saw others go in advance. We saw Mark Foley leave. We saw Tom, Hot Tub Tom DeLay, Tom the Hammer DeLay, who said that he hoped that when people looked at his mugshot that they would see Jesus. We saw him leave a little early. God. And the speeches. Oh, Lord, the speeches. The valedictories that were delivered by the likes of Bill Frist and Rick Sanctum Sanctorum, who stood on the floor of the Senate, I think, day before yesterday, and delivered his last remarks and said, the gravest threat that America faces is Islamic fascism. Dude, he's so wasted! And then there was Senator Conrad Burns, you know, the guy who cussed out Virginian firefighters who had just gotten done risking their lives for neighborhood homes out in Montana this past summer and autumn, cussed him out in the airport. Conrad Burns, who said, George Bush has a plan to win in Iraq, but he's not going to tell you! It's a secret! Eesh. He used his valedictory yesterday to, no kidding, to call upon the Senate to remove this all-seeing eye that watches us each and every day. That's right. Conrad Burns used his farewell address to the Senate to beg for C-SPAN 2 to be shut down. Ow! This is the kind of crap that aspirin and Motrin and all the opium won't help. Let's see. Islamic fascism from Santorum. Television from Conrad Burns. And a plea for bipartisanship from Bill, I can diagnose disease by videotape, Frist. And what did Bill Frist? Oh, he called for a return to bipartisanship. We're living in a 2-year cycle in this body when we ought to be living in a 20-year cycle. It is bipartisanship that this body needs. No. Go somewhere, Bill. No, I'm tired of nice. Go to hell, Bill Frist. Go there in a hurry. Take Rick Man on Dog Santorum with you, and take Conrad Burns with you, too. Just a darn shame you can't be taking Ted Series of Tube Stevens with you. But don't worry, departing Republican legislators. You will be followed on your broad road to hell soon enough by, you know, others. Jeff Sessions. I used to think the Klan was pretty cool till I realized they smoked dope. Whew! I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, that's... Goodbye, 109th Congress. Goodbye, you old syphilitic tramp, you. Goodbye, 109th Congress. Goodbye, Typhoid Mary. Goodbye, you warmongering turds. Goodbye. Goodbye, didn't want to work. Oh, but that's okay. The ones who do remain, I want to play this for you. This is an exchange between John War on Christmas Gibson. John Gibson has helmet hair, by the way. John War on Christmas Gibson and Jack Kingston. The weird thing about this exchange on fake news or Fox News is that suddenly John Gibson is unhappy with the Republican Congress. You'll hear this in a minute. But Jack Kingston, this is the story that I said that I really, really, really didn't do justice to last night. It was a Washington Post article, the House to work 5 days a week. The setup for this, of course, is that Steny Hoyer, who is the majority leader in the House, has established a five-day work week.
Jesus!
He says that the House will be in session Monday through Friday. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like, you know, Americans work. You remember when Dear Leader met with the lady who said it was uniquely, and he said it was uniquely American for her to work three jobs? Hoyer was meeting with reporters. This is a quote. He said, "I have bad news for you. Those trips you had planned in January, forget them. We'll be working almost every day in January, starting with the 4th. The reporters groaned. "I know, it's awful, isn't it?" Well, the legislative week under the Republicans, lazy bastards, started late on Tuesday. You know, late Tuesday afternoon, like 2 o'clock on Tuesday, and it ended by Thursday afternoon. Barely 48 hours. And that was only when they were working and not in recess. You know, the proof of how much the Republican Party hates working people lies in their unwillingness to work themselves while other people work 90-hour weeks. Yeah, I know, it's a little dicey on the math, but some people get pretty doggone close. So, in announcing that, one particular member of the House, and I don't know how they must have gotten him liquored up at one of those Republican watering holes where you pick up little boys and stuff like that. A guy named Jack Kingston from Georgia, a guy who has, "Will some Democrat please run against me next election?" written all over his head. He cried. He had a hissy. He told the Washington Post, "Keeping us up here eats away at families. Marriages suffer. The Democrats could care less about families. This is what that sells." And no, okay, so I've set up the clip. John Gibson, Fox News war on Christmas freak, is suddenly concerned about the work habits of Congress, and he's talking to Congressman Jack Kingston, family values Republican. Hit it.
The 110th Congress will be burning the midnight oil come January 4th. Congressman Steny Hoyer, the soon-to-be House Majority Leader, is busy writing the schedule for the next Congress, and he is warning his fellow members to expect longer hours, actually a five-day work week, rather than the abbreviated week they have grown accustomed to. How are congressional members reacting? With me now, Republican Congressman Jack Kingston of Georgia. Congressman, you actually commented about this. Let me put your quote up here. It says, you said to a newspaper, I believe, "Keeping us here is eating away at families. Marriages suffer. The Democrats could care less about families. That's what this says." What did you mean by that?
Well, John, members of Congress work 60 to 70 hours a week every week. I mean, the idea that we only work when we are in Washington, D.C. is ridiculous. When we're back home, we're visiting schools, we're talking to groups, we're meeting with constituents, we're getting real information on the ground, we're listening and we're learning. You know, I think there was a time when all the brains were in Washington. I don't know when that was. But it's certainly not the case anymore with BlackBerry cell phones. You can stay in touch with what's going on in Washington, but you know, when you're back home with the real people, folks can grab you by the collar and say, "What in the heck did you guys do when you passed that bill?"
Well, but Congressman, what about this is, let me put up this graphic. This reality check is going to mean a new calendar for you guys. They're going to be 5 days a week. Most Americans work 5 days a week. And most Americans, as I recall, were pretty ticked at Congress in the last election. What did you guys get done in the 109th Congress?
John, first of all, I want to say that it is absolutely disingenuous to suggest Congress only works 2 to 3 days a week. We work most cases 5 to 6 days a week. I don't know. I've been in Congress for 14 years. I don't know anybody who does it in less than 60 hours a week. That's point number one. Now, point number two is, with the historic calendar of coming up on Tuesdays and getting out on Thursdays or Fridays, we still have in the past passed lots of legislation.
Which?
This last term, we did not perform. That's why my party, the Republicans, were fired. We didn't take on the basics of permanent tax relief or balancing the budget or immigration reform. But historically,
somebody get into the Betty Ford clinic,
to do
okay?
That stuff when we're in Washington.
But
we
Congress,
just have to make
don't,
our
you,
time
don't
count.
You think that maybe part of the reason the Republicans were fired is the public heard about this?
Now, I think it's because we didn't perform. When we were up here, we were naming bridges and post offices. We were not having quality time. Again, in the 14 years I've been here, we have always been able to focus and get the job done. We drifted. We got off our agenda. We came up here, and some weeks we just twiddled our thumbs. That's what killed us. Legislatively, you can get the job done, but I'm telling you that if you keep Congress in Washington, what you're going to have is people with Potomac fever. You're going to have legislation that was born inside the Beltway, passed inside the Beltway, and serves inside the Beltway.
Congressman Jack Kingston, Republican of Georgia. Well, Congressman, good luck with your new schedule. Thanks.
You know, Jack Kingston, I don't know why he wasn't replaced in the revolution of November 2006. He must not have had any kind of credible opposition. That, or he represents a district in Georgia that, home office of the Klan or something. But, you know, for him to sit there and say, you know, we've got to be away from Washington so we can craft legislation, or else it'll all be written inside Washington. Lightning bolt. Lying bastard. You know why? Because every single piece of legislation that came into the Republican House, none of it was written by a Republican lawmaker. None of it was written by a Republican representative. It was every last bit of it written on K Street. Every last one. Probably even the horse meat bill was written on K Street. The fact of the matter is, this 109th Congress was as lazy as you can get and still have the temerity to call yourself a Congress. We're going to have Potomac fever. He actually thinks he's getting paid to go to Rotary luncheons. That's called campaigning. That's called PR. That is not representation. Well, they can pull me over on the street and say, what were you people thinking when you passed that bill? Dude, you're a Republican. You're from Georgia. Don't lie to us. Nobody did that to you. Because if they had, you wouldn't have been reelected, you freak. I mean, that's just the simple, well, I got me a BlackBerry. I got me a BlackBerry. I ain't got to be in Washington. What does he think? Roll call votes are taken on BlackBerry now? I mean, I know we got problems with ES&S and Diebold, but we haven't slid that far, have we? Text your vote to House 61328. Jesus. I can't believe this fool went out and actually exposed himself like that. But some of them have that kind of hubris. You know, John, I've been in the House of Representatives for 12 years. Well, that was a quick do-the-math moment. That means he came in the 1994 gangrene revolution talking crap like term limits. Oh, we got a contract on America. I mean, with America. That's... And they've done nothing. Anything that they did do they did with the express intention of hurting America. Did you? I think we got fired in the last election because we didn't pass permanent tax relief. Surprised he didn't get around to saying, you know, I don't know why the media won't report the good things that are happening in Iraq. They built a soccer field just last week. And, of course, it got blown up 2 days later. And all the soccer players on it. Whew, Mother McCree. They got whipped by a progressive landslide, and they still don't understand why. Americans want reform. We want reform, not in the... we want it now. We want it yesterday, and that is how it is needed. And the thinking of people like Jack Kingston brings to the fore the absolute imperative quality of your activism. You have got to be on these people like dogs on a bone wagon. Because I made a promise and I intend to keep it. I'm not letting up. There is a list. We talked a little bit about it last night. The stupid electronic voting machines have got to go. Rush Holt has a bill that's making that theoretically will be introduced and hopefully will make some progress. We've got to know that the votes are going to count. Of course, I'm not willing to accept, well, we've got a paper trail. It'll spit out a receipt just like a cash register. No. Paper ballots, baby, and public servants counting them, not corporate servants. We got that. And of course, the running theme of the last several shows, and if it's like a broken record, I apologize, but I can't think of anything much more important. Get out now! Get out of Iraq now! That one's gotta be beaten over their heads. Healthcare reform. Healthcare reform. Reform? No. Healthcare revolution. Universal healthcare now. Are we working on bumper stickers here? Is that what this is sort of quietly turning into? 2-3 words at a time. Universal healthcare now. Maybe that's what we'll call that. Call this the now list. Out of Iraq now. Universal healthcare now. Do it. The citizens of the United States are entitled to the very same high-quality health care that their elected representatives have. And there is not an excuse for not doing it. Any capitulation on universal health care is a tacit admission on the parts of those who can't get it done that they are in the pay and bought the hell off by the health care insurance industry. Out of Iraq now. Universal health care now. Get rid of voting machines now. I could be a real jerk and say that working Monday through Friday for something approaching 40 hours is not sufficient in my books. For so long as there is a single American who is not able to work a 40-hour week and feed and clothe his family and keep the bill, keep the lights on and the mortgage or the rent paid and make a car payment and have a little left over to be a family. For as long as that obtains, a 40-hour work week in Congress is not sufficient. You know, it was said last night that if members of Congress had to survive on Social Security would be fixed, and I believe I threw into the mix the idea that if members of Congress were paid minimum wage, the minimum wage would be fixed. If members of Congress had to work an 80-hour week like Jack Kingston lied but never did, then the 40-hour work week would become a reality. It's the now list, isn't it? It is the now list. These are things that the work starts on immediately. Election reform now. Or election machine reform now. Out of Iraq now. Healthcare reform now. And one more. Oh yeah, one more. The Employee Free Choice Act now. The Democratic National Committee statement put out a statement today under Howard Dean's signature that said the following. Under the Republican Congress and the Bush administration, workers' freedom to form unions has been steadily eroded by lax enforcement of labor laws, decisions cutting organizing protections, and administration interference in collective bargaining. In addition, Republicans have worked to strip overtime protections from millions and have pushed through trade deals that have sent American jobs overseas, further weakening employees' power to organize and bargain. The Democratic National Committee has called for passage of the Employee Free Choice Act, an important measure for restoring workers' freedom to form unions and protecting America's hardworking families. The legislation would protect workers against employer interference in organizing drives, help workers win contracts after voting for a union, and protects workers from intimidation when forming unions. Every day, millions of Americans work hard and play by the rules, but are still struggling to get by. Democrats understand that the important role of organizing and bargaining for changing this crisis for American workers. Workers represented by unions are more likely to have health insurance and guaranteed pensions, access to job training opportunities, and higher wages. If we want to improve working conditions for America's workers, strengthen America's families, and rebuild America's middle class, we must do more to help employees who wish to organize and form unions. By removing barriers to organizing unions, the Employee Free Choice Act would help ensure that more American workers are guaranteed their rights. I call on Congress to give bipartisan support to the legislation and for the President to approve this critical bill. Let me add one thing. The Employees Free Choice Act now, as written. And that's very important. As written. Because there's a real risk of it getting monkeyed with, especially in committee in the Senate. The Employees Free Choice Act as written. So, you know, that's a good starting place. Minimum wage reform now. And I don't mean any $7 a daggum hour. I mean $9 an hour. I mean a living wage. Of course, there's every possibility in the world that if you get the Employee Free Choice Act, it'll take a lot of people off of the minimum wage rolls. Because they'll have an opportunity to join a union and have a real and better chance at a meaningful working life. Which, of course, in turn points to a meaningful family life. Most marriages in this country don't fail because one or the other of the two spouses is out a romping. It ends in acrimonious fights around the dinner table over whether or not we're going to put new tires on the car this week or pay the power bill. It ends when two spouses can't afford to hire a babysitter so that they can go out, maybe dinner and a movie, and rekindle the things that made them realize they wanted to be together in the first place. And a meaningful union job makes a lot of that far less likely. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by our good friend Bob from North Dakota right now. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, my friend.
How are you, buddy?
I want to thank you for something.
What'd I do?
Well, you played Happy Trails. You know, I grew up with Roy and
Dale.
Dale, yeah. I grew
Trigger.
Up with them. And Trigger. And I laughed my butt off when they stuffed heard about, you know, kind of, you know, making, you know.
Well, Stonewall Jackson's horse is still stuffed over on the campus of VMI.
I wouldn't doubt it, but.
It is. I've seen it.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're more than welcome. And thank yous also to our good friend Billy Shears, who on an emergency email said, "Oh, sure, I got that."
Ah, yeah. Well, hey, guess what? You know, life is beautiful. You know, and life is all we have. You know, and if you do not accept the beauty of it, then you just. Hey, you just kind of fall off the edge of the earth like the George Bush administration wants everybody to fall off the edge of the earth. No, there is no edge to the earth. There is no edge. The earth is not flat. It never has been. It's a speck of dust in the universe, and it's just a speck of stardust, and we are the stuff that stars are made of. The stuff that stars are made of. The universe was created by whatever, a big bang or a big white guy sitting on a cloud with a beard pointing his finger at whatever, Deuteronomy. You know what I mean? It's just, we have no idea how it began, so why should we question any of it? Let's just get together and say, okay, we're here. Let's work to make it a better place. Not this hell on earth that the Bush administration has foisted on us, forced us into. You know?
Yeah.
Let's work together to be together, Bob. Let's be like, you know, hey, the first time I heard your voice, I mean, I thought, hey, this guy talks and thinks like I do. And then Agnes chimed in, and I thought, hey, this girl sounds like Glenda. I mean, Glenda kind of keeps me just a little bit more, you know, even-keeled. It's kind of like having a little ballast in your boat so it doesn't tip over when the wind blows. You got something to keep you straight in the wind. Well, we're in a big wind right now. We got them Republicans blowing they're blowing and blowing and blowing and crying. And I hear, you know, that critter you had on there, that Republican,
that goober.
Yeah, that goober. That thing was crying about, oh, I had to work a day. I actually had to get up in the morning and go to work that day. And dang,
I had to work Tuesday, Wednesday, and part of Thursday.
Yeah, and the next thing I knew, it was like, oh my goodness, I was rubbing up against some little boy on the bus, you know.
Hey, you know, if we keep, that's the thing, if we keep the repigs in Congress, we may be keeping our children safe. That's a very nice observation.
Yes, well, no.
It's a pro-family thing Steny Hoyer's done.
Hey, Bob, we've got to bring them out into the light. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, a shining light on a vampire. You know, if you just shine the light on them, you're doing such a wonderful job. Keep doing it. Shine the light on them, and they will melt like, what was that thing we talked about? Mike Malloy has these, flying monkeys, you know, that scared the Dickens out of him from Dorothy and the.
I'm still traumatized too.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Keep shining the light on them, and they'll just melt like them flying monkeys or that Wicked Witch of the West. Just throw some water on it. It'll just melt and get rid of it. And that's what we got to do to this Republican Congress. And they're crying because they're melting. They are melting, Bob. They are just. They're going to melt away. And then, Bob, we must govern. We must say to the people, there are, yes, we have a very, very hard, we have hard chores. We have things we must do to keep the country and the people together. And the things we have to do are these. We have to pay our debts. We have to to do these things, not because we want to, but because we must in order to remain a United States, a country of men and women that desire a future for their children, for their progeny, for those that we brought into this world. We owe a debt. We brought them here. Let's give them a better future. Not the future that our parents gave us, but a future that is bright. And it is a brotherhood and a sisterhood. It is a world that does not hold religion against a person, but they hold religion in the background, and they hold the person in the foreground, because the person is more important than what the person believes in. Because,
well, do you remember when in 2000, Bob, when that pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout who sits in the White House? Do you remember when he said, "I want to run the country like a CEO"? You remember that?
Yeah, well, that's like running.
Well, he cited Halliburton, or not Halliburton. He cited Enron as the company he wanted to run the government like. He really, really did that.
Okay, Bob. Let me give you.
Let me give you
a better example.
Well, but wait. Let me flesh this out, okay?
Okay.
Because there's a point to this. America doesn't need to be run like a corporation, because our corporations are run amok.
Mm-hmm.
We need a Congress that is reflective of real American values. We need to run this country like most Americans run their household budgets, because there aren't, statistically speaking, very many American households that are in deficit spending.
No.
American households make it work. It's this Republican Congress and this Republican White House that have gone off spending money like they're printing it for their own personal use. We need to not run America like a business. We need to run America like a household. We need to run America like a family. A family that cares, a family that nurtures, and a family that cherishes. Sorry.
Thanks. You don't have to be sorry. Thank you. Thank you for telling it like it is. The truth is not that difficult. If you hear it, you know it's true. When you hear somebody stumbling on their words and falling apart in mid-sentence and coming up with some bumbling idiot stuff like you hear from even the White House press secretary has the same problem that his boss does. They cannot, Bob, hold a conversation. All they do is fall all over themselves with stupidity. And I'm sick to death of the stupidity. I mean, Bob, I'm not a very intelligent man. No, I'm not highly educated and very well endowed and all that other stuff. I'm just a common man, just like Chesty Puller was. I'm just as common as dirt, he says, and I'm just as useful. Because from the earth comes good things, as long as you nurture and care for her, because she gave you life. She is Mother Earth and Father Sky.
Almost all theologies begin with a Sky Father and an Earth Mother. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, but when you get into the Sky Father, and you get into an understanding that we as creatures of this planet are part of it, but there's something people that believe there's something beyond, or a golden gate that they get to go through when, you know, when Jabezus comes down here in his golden El Dorado and fly, or drives him off to the, you know at the what, 8 miles to the gallon, takes them into the sky, you know, to sky to see the magic mushroom. I don't know, but the thing is, they live in a magical world. They do not live in reality, Bob. And I try to live in reality, but sometimes I get sidetracked, and I have to listen, and then I get a little bit, just a little bit crazy, which people say, this is one crazy ex-jarhead to get the heck away from him, because, you know, he'll send you to see Bejesus, and yeah, I'll send him to Bejesus in a minute. And, you know, they brag on this holiday, but they have no idea about the holiday. The holiday has been so over emphasized and over commercialized, and they don't even understand that one person, that guy that you and I admire and respect and would follow into the depths of hell, that little brown Palestinian carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would stand with him, and I would stand against the Romans and against all, and say, yes, my Lord, you have given me the strength to be who I am, and you have given me the ability to know the difference between a lie and the truth. And Bob, you speak the truth. And when you said happy trails to this Congress, that was the kindest and most Christian thing I've ever heard, because I would have said something else. Like, shortly after that, you said, I would have preferred to tell them to go to hell, and I would escort them.
And I, yeah, and I may yet.
And then while they're there, just roast in your own
juices,
stew in your own juice. That'll toughen you up, so when you come back and try to take us again, you're going to lose, but you won't be as tough as you think you are, because we have something on our side you don't have, and that is the truth, Bob. Absolute truth. We do not lie, we do not take, but we do give. And to you.
And we do not, and the thing that was worth remembering, Bob, we do not tolerate those who do.
No, I do not.
I hope you will join me in this pledge.
Yes.
That we will be as absolutely hard on this Congress as we've been on the Repigs during their majority.
No,
the work,
Bob,
has got to be done, Bob.
Bob, we will be more stringent on this Democratic Congress than we have been on any Congress that has ever existed in the state that is called the United States. We will not stop. We will not tire. We will not quit. We will stand, and we will not tire. We will stand, Bob, stand against anything that is wrong, it is indecent, or it is as disgusting as the things that these Democrats, or what I call them, these dinos, these Democrats in name only, have done in the past. And if they do not step up to the plate, we're going to take them out in 2008. They will not stand, Bob. We will stand as a nation, as a people, we will stand against them.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think there has been a time in the recent past, Bob, when the American people had a greater opportunity to really take an active role in their government. If we are standing behind this Democratic Congress shoving,
that's Right.
They cannot help but go forward.
They must go because we will not. Hey, I got a size 12 boondocker, and I'll plant it in the best part of a Democrat that wants to go Republican. I'll do it, Bob. I will do it in a heartbeat.
I got my very own size, a pair of size 12 hunting boots with a steel toe.
Well, I won't use steel toe. Mine got, well, I wear these here cowboy boots, you know, the one with the pointed toes, and I can, if I plant that thing, I can get it past the colon and back up to the throat.
They don't call those things cockroach killers for no reason. Hey, Bob, we got to roll on. It's news time.
I understand. Hey, and thank you again for Happy Trails, because that was the kindest and most decent farewell I've ever heard to this Republican Congress.
It's more than they deserved, Bob.
Yes, but thank you for it, because I chuckled, and I laughed, and I was just so proud of you, and thank you, my son.
All right. You have a good weekend, Bob.
You too.
Stay warm now.
Agnes and the kids.
All right.
And the papa, okay?
All right, thanks. Later.
Bye-bye.
Our good friend Bob in North Dakota. Yeah, Happy Trails, it was more than they deserved. And it was almost more than I could bear. Let's go see what's going on in the news. This is the Head On Radio Network. Jump in, for heaven's sakes. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob. Oh, and by the way, chat room's open. I just wish I could tell you how to get there. We'll be back.
Because I know the war will send too many children to an early grave. I'm trying to be less polite. I'm trying to be less polite. I'm fed up with the Christian wrong.
They met with Litvinenko in London the day the Kremlin critic fell ill. A dozen people in more than a dozen locations in UK have also tested positive for radiation. Litvinenko was investigating the murder of an anti-Putin journalist when he was poisoned. In Brazil, authorities have charged two U.S. pilots with endangering air safety in the worst air disaster in Brazil's history. The two were piloting a private executive jet when it hit a passenger jet. The private plane landed without incident. The passenger jet crashed, killing all 154 aboard. The first woman to be the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Jean Kirkpatrick, has died. She was 80. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
A top hurricane researcher says the 2007 Atlantic hurricane season will have above-average activity. He predicted three major hurricanes out of 14 named storms. The E. coli outbreak linked to Taco Bell is growing. As many as 121 people have been sickened in six states. California green onions are thought to be the culprit. A Hong Kong labor group accused Walmart of mistreating its Chinese supply workers. The group, China Labor Watch, says the retailer allows poor working conditions and fails to pay legally required wages or health insurance. EU regulators have begun an antitrust probe into the $2 billion deal between Universal Music and BMG Music. If the deal is authorized, it would merge the third and fourth largest music publishing catalogs in the world. There's talk about a possible merger between the two giants of satellite radio, Sirius and XM. Executives from Sirius have cited benefits that would come from the consolidation of the two companies. Last week, crude closed trading at $62.13 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 29 points at 12,307, the NASDAQ up 10 at 2437, the S&P 500 up 3 at 1409. Gold ended trading at $629.60 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Five and a half minutes after the hour, I'm being informed in the chat room that the server is back up, so if you've had a hard time getting into the chat room, run. Don't walk. Run. Join in the joyous celebration of conversation radio that is the headonradionetwork.com chat room. And a quick mention, if you enjoy posting things in more permanent form, the headonradio.com, I know there's a difference, headonradionetwork.com, headonradio.com message boards are there for your enjoyment as well. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there's still a, is there still a link to the headonradio.com message boards at the main network site? I'm not sure. See, that's not part of my job description. Okay, Agnes says there is. But yeah, the website's back up, so that means if you want to go and get involved in the chat room, you can again, because the very prospect of trying to put trying to say verbally the website for you to go to get into the chat room was daunting at best, and the likelihood of it being effective was almost nil. Okay, got that? Good. Now we've got a couple of emails. I love the way you guys think. First of all, with regard to the Republican 109th Congress, a Congress that will live in infamy, we have a couple of observations. Our good friend Ray says, if Congress spent another day a week at work, one, they could write more bills so that they aren't so long that no one knew what was being voted on. Two, they could have looked at the intelligence on Iraq and known not to sign a blank check. Three, they could type at least five times as many notes on a computer as on a BlackBerry. Now, I admit my absolute dirt ignorance on you know what? I mean, I try to keep up with the technology and so forth, but I can't afford one. So I have never so much as seen, let alone held or used, a BlackBerry. Now, on the other hand, I know very, very good and well what BlackBerry means here in the Mountain State. BlackBerries are what, if you do not keep them cut back, will take over your backyard and you will be up to your armpits in copperheads. Really, you know, that's the thing. When you go BlackBerry picking, you wear your good heavy boots and you wait for the smell. No kidding. You be alert for the smell of cucumbers. Copperhead snakes smell like cucumbers.
Oh my God, Bob, like you didn't know what a BlackBerry was? Dude, like you get lost without the GPS system that's involved.
Dudette, you know, like I pick buckets of them every summer.
Dad, you are so uncool. You don't know what a BlackBerry is.
Yeah, I know.
Get with the tech.
Oh, I know. The kids are like, you know, they're fast approaching all three of the ones who are still under the age of 18. They're getting to that point where, that you know, where the thing that comes out of their mouth most frequently is, and it sounds like this, Mom, or dad. But it, no, anyway, so I'm not impressed with Jack Kingston's BlackBerry. But it's the in Ray's observations, it's number two that sort of speaks to me. They could have looked at the intelligence on Iraq and known not to sign a blank check. Cast your minds backward, if you will, and you'll realize, was this work 2 days a week schedule in place in 2002 when we were contemplating attacking a country that had never lifted a finger against us? Was it? Does that explain the hurly-burly rush mad, and I mean mad as in insane, rush to war? They weren't doing their jobs, so they didn't have time for proper deliberation? Was the Patriot Act passed shortly after September 11th, 2001 on this same schedule? A 400 and some odd page bill that was passed when members of Congress weren't even expected to be at work more than half of Tuesday, all of Wednesday, and half of Thursday? 2 days a week? Is that honest to Pete, because if you think about it, if that is the reason that we got the Patriot Act, if that is the reason that we got the torture bill, if that is the reason that we got John Roberts and Sammy Alito and the bankruptcy bill, then the Republicans are entitled to more scorn than even I have ever even fully given contemplation. Our good friend David from Middle Tennessee says, the bad news, they only worked 60-some-odd days. The good news, they only worked 60-some-odd days. And that is freighted with more truth than we can really give voice to, isn't it? Had they... had they actually taken the time to try to advance their hateful agenda, imagine what a hell of a mess we'd be in. But they didn't, and they are defeated, and they are on the run. And anybody with a taste for military history knows what you do with a retreating army. You stomp it. I personally look forward to the photographs of Jack Kingston, haggard and worn out, crying on the floor of the House of Representatives about how his marriage is in a shambles because I got to be up here in Washington. And frankly, I don't care. Now, by the same token, the same Washington Post story that included Jack Kingston's bemoaning of the fact that he would actually have to work to earn his 150 some odd thousand dollars a year also contained a little bit of a complaint from a Democratic member of the House, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, well, she runs her 7-year-old daughter's brownie troop meetings on Monday afternoons in Weston, Florida. And she wasn't exactly crying or carrying on like Jack Kingston. She went about this in a businesslike fashion. It's because she's a Democrat. She said, "I'll have to talk to the other mothers and see if we can move it to the weekend." Good. That's the way you respond. You don't go to the Washington Post and say, "Oh, Democrats don't care nothing about families." Jack Kingston, you freak. We care a lot about families. That's why the people who that's why it's called being a public servant. That's why the people who go and represent the people in the people's house are expected to make certain sacrifices. And frankly, getting paid $150,000 plus a year for 5 days a week of work. And bear in mind, we're not talking about a real, live, honest-to-God, 8 to 5, 5 days a week work schedule. The House will be expected in the Capitol for votes each week by 6:30 p.m. Monday. They'll finish their business about 2 p.m. Friday. So even more so, Jack Kingston's crocodile tears fall on a hard, hard place. 6:30 p.m. Monday to 2 p.m. Friday. I don't know about where you are, but I know a lot of people here in the Mountain State that would be grateful for a work week that was only 40 hours long. So I just don't have a lot of sympathy. But, you know, no, there's more than Jack Kingston. John Boner. He said, between the travel issues, the members' work schedules, and family and district issues, it was a Rubik's Cube. That's why they could only work 2 days a week. On the other hand, there's a guy named Mike Thompson, a Democrat from Napa Valley, California, about as far from Washington, D.C. as one human being can get. I like Mike Thompson's attitude. He has to leave home at 3 a.m. on Sundays to get to Washington in time for work on Monday. And he says, I didn't come here to turn around and go back home. There are those who want to work, and those people who want to work are the ones who I think will, like cream, rise to the top and lead. And they're the ones that we support. Mike Thompson, Democrat, California. Hooray for him. Hooray, you know, hooray for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I applaud her for leading a brownie troop. You know, there is nothing more charming than working with kids that age. Little girls in a brownie troop, little boys in a Cub Scout troop. Because you can see, you know, you can see the lights go on. Agnes has been involved with that. We're not involved with that anymore. Because, frankly, we ran out of time. And I can well imagine that there are lots of moms and dads out there who would like to work with Boy Scout troops, Girl Scout troops, all kinds of different organizations. But you know what? They're busy working the second job or the third job. Because if they don't work the second job or the third job, the car gets repossessed, and then they lose the second job and the first job together, and the kids look at them and say, why isn't there anything under the Christmas tree, Mommy? This is the America that the Democratic Congress faces. These are the problems that the Democratic Congress must address. So help me God, I make you an oath. If I catch, and I don't give a tinker's damn who does it, if I catch a Democrat offering a horse meat bill or a flag-burning amendment or a prayer in school bill, do you hear me, Senator Byrd? I will flay the flesh off that person's back behind this microphone. We don't have time. We are behind the eight ball, and we are playing catch up on the learning curve as it is. We do not have time for pandering legislative foolishness. Here, let me take it one step further and piss off some of my liberal brethren and sistren. We don't have time for any damn gun legislation either. We have to deal with the war. We have to deal with the ability to have a clean election. We have to deal with how Americans put food on the table and keep the roof over their heads. We don't have time for any abortion bills. I know. You know, one of the last things this doless, good-for-nothing piece of crap Congress did was they tried to ram through a bill. Now, bear in mind, at the start of the program, I gave you a list of the stuff this Republican Congress didn't do. They couldn't be bothered to extend the spending for veterans' health, counseling, retraining, and employment programs. They could not be bothered. You know what they had time for, though? A couple of days ago, these no-good sons of bitches had time to try to pass a bill that would have forced a doctor to tell a woman who was going to see him about a pregnancy that her fetus felt pain. Jesus, Mary and Joseph and our brother Harry. And Jack Kingston thinks that they got thrown out of office because they were naming post offices and bridges? No, you dumbass. You were thrown out of office because you were putting bills like that out there, and God knows Terry Schiavo. Get your by now numbed mind, because this is mind-numbing stuff. Get your mind around the fact that one of the last things this useless, no good, cancerous Republican Congress did, get your mind around the fact that one of the last things they tried to accomplish was for one last time to try to mess around inside some woman's guts. I'm sorry to be so graphic, but they couldn't have been any more offensive if they were actually groping at the women of this country. So I know we got some conservative Democrats out there, and most of them are men, almost all of them, like 99.9% are men, and they think it's their province to tell women what should go on between a woman and her doctor. And you know what? When we get to the point where we've eliminated the deficit, and we've stopped the war, and people who work for a living can join a union if they want to, and we know that the elections will be fair and free and clean, and we've taken the filthy money out of the electoral process, when we've got all that done, you conservative Democrats, you can bring up your fetal pain bills. And God, I hope it, by that time, and I have no reason to doubt, that I'll still be here, and Guy James will still be here, and Mark Levine will still be here, and Joe Vecchio will still be here, and Dr. Bill will still be here, and Bruce Birch will still be here, and John Fox will still be here, and even more people will be on the Head On Radio Network. Mike Malloy will be out there. Randy Rhodes will be there. And we will beat those conservative Democrats over the head for wasting precious time. I am equal opportunity on the absolute necessity to focus. You know, we call it a do-nothing Congress. We call it a lot of things. It was the attention deficit disorder Congress, wasn't it? They could not be bothered to focus on the things that mattered. They couldn't be bothered to focus on what mattered. The war mattered. Elections matter. Working people matter. Being able to go to the doctor matters. You know, I heard the governor of West Virginia, Joe Manchin, speak the other day, and he's not a favorite among a lot of us good liberals and progressives here in West Virginia. But he did say something that was very, very relevant, very meaningful, and very true, and I applaud for him. I applaud him for even noticing this. He said, for the most part, we offer health care to our elderly. And to the vast majority of the children in this country, we offer health care through something called CHIPS. Most states, although the federal government, I noticed the other day, is cutting this yet again, have some level of health care for their disabled through Medicaid. He said, when you consider all of those things together, and this is very true, when you consider all of those things together, the people that we are willing to leave high and dry in the health care crisis are the people who are working for a living and making everything go. And that is very true. And he said that he hopes to do something about the working uninsured here in West Virginia, and that he hoped he could convince the National Governors Association to work individually to do something in the several states, each and every one. Those are the things that matter. Ending the war matters. Making workplaces places that can be good, decent, and meaningful for the people who work in them matters. Elections that we know are real matter. Being able to go to the doctor when you're sick, or what's worse, when you think you may be sick, matters. There's plenty to do. From 6:30 p.m. Monday to 2 p.m. Friday, Lord God, there is plenty to do. And if it's going to be done, it's going to be done because you are wearing out the phone, using your email, writing letters, talking to your friends, talking issues, and empowering people. You know that you're listening to this program, and so that means that most likely you are already empowered and you are already an activist. The question lies in whether or not you can make two more. Replace yourself and add to the process. Make two more activists. If you can make 10 more, bully for you. Add your voice to the voices of others. Make it possible for these people in Washington to understand how thoroughly we're behind them on stuff that matters, and be willing to bust them if they start wandering off down flag-burning amendment rat holes, or English as the language of the United States, rat holes. You catch them doing that, and you wear them the hell out. Because we don't have time. The barn is burning. We don't have time. And we don't have time for wars on Christmas. And we don't have time for war on President's Day, war on Easter, war on the 4th of July, or war on Halloween. We don't have time. We got time to worry about one war and preventing the next one. We got time to worry about our children and grandchildren who are born at this moment with something approaching $50,000 of debt hanging around their necks. That's what we've got time for. We got time for the working people that make this country go. We got time to stop unfair trade agreements. We got time to stop freak Supreme Court and federal court appointees. We've got time for that. We have time for what matters, and we have the priorities that America needs in order to save herself. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Susan is calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
You punched my button.
Which button?
Okay, first of all, here's a message that I have given to my single Republican senator.
Okay.
And people should consider giving it to all of the ones that weren't either tossed out or weren't even up for election. Mine wasn't up for election.
More's the pity.
Yeah, more's the pity. Pay attention, Yahoo. You're next. Because if you don't straighten up, your conservative reaper butt is out on the street.
Good. That's the, honest to God, Susan, that's the kind of talk they got to hear.
Well, that's what they're hearing. Now, my other butt. You hit it while I was on the hold.
I want to wear, I'm very serious in all this. I want to wear them out.
Oh, yeah, you all help. And I get mean as a stepped-on snake when you start talking about things like this. But my other hot button was health care.
Yeah.
You mentioned especially the comment the governor made about being able to have health care for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to make a small bet on that?
No.
My husband is 80-some years old. He's a veteran of two different wars. He could drop dead on the Veterans Hospital in Portland, Oregon, and they'd walk over his body.
I'm not surprised.
They don't care. He has Medicare, which pays a whole 20%. Beyond that, he has zip.
Yeah.
I don't have any insurance at all.
Neither do I, Susan.
Reality for me is I have to weigh, okay, Susan, are you running the risk of going into a coma and therefore needing life support to stave off death, or do you want to run the risk of losing your health? That's what I live with. That's what a lot of people around here live with.
That's every day. I'm not selling you short, Susan. You know that. We're friends. Those are the choices that America faces every day because we have had in the Congress of the United States since 1994 a Republican majority that cares less about you, me, and others like us than a hog cares about a Sunday suit.
That's exactly why I'm mentioning it. It's not you. I want people to know what this Congress and what the other conservatives have done to people like me, people like my husband, children. Don't get me started on people who don't have any homes.
Well, you
don't
know.
Don't get me started on returning vets.
Oh, I know. See, I produced Joe Vecchio's show this afternoon, and he was talking about how even as he sat there in Chicago, that it was 12 degrees.
Yeah. We just got through a cold snap where it was close to zero here in Portland, which is unusual.
Yeah, in the extreme.
Coming down.
But you know, when you see these 12-degree days, you have to ask yourself,
where are these people going?
How many dead were pulled up off the street this morning?
And you know what gets me?
What's that?
I don't know about Portland. I don't know about other cities, but I do know the shelters in Portland are starting to see people from Iraq and Afghanistan, veterans. They don't have any place to go. They've got PTSD so bad, they don't know which country they're in.
Yeah, let's sing the national anthem now, what do you say?
Yeah.
And
our wonderful Oregon Senator Gordon Smith thinks everything is just going great and wonderful, and the president...
Well, it is for Gordon Smith.
Yeah, and the
he's got a stock portfolio and a blind trust, and he couldn't make any more money if he was actively trying harder.
He's a multimillionaire. Like I said, pay attention or your conservative butt is out on the street with the veterans.
Well,
everybody should do that to everybody, to all of their Republicans.
And bear in mind, there are people out there that have not learned the lesson. You know, we spent a lot of time prior to the election, Susan, talking about Bob Corker, the guy who ran the racist ads against Harold Ford in Tennessee. Remember him?
He's probably saying it was conservatives who put him over the top.
Well, it probably was. It was probably racists. But I'm informed from the great state of Tennessee that Corker has hired as his chief of staff a guy who has whose work history includes employment inside the office of one Senator Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions of Alabama. Now, Corker didn't learn anything from the election. He's moving further to the right.
Yeah.
We got, you know, we busted him once on November the 7th.
We need to knock him down and bust him again.
Hit him until there's nothing left of him.
You know, we need to treat these people the way the Hells Angels treated people during a rumble. Don't just punch them once. Knock them down and stomp them.
Well, that's what I mean about how you treat a retreating army. You run them to ground and you make sure that they will never be a threat again. The messages of conservatism have got... this is... You know, we can't count on our elected representatives for all this, Susan. This is part of our work. The messages of conservatism have got to be stomped into the ground. They have got to be discredited utterly and completely, and the American people must be shown, those who haven't figured it out yet, must be shown what a fraud they have been victims of.
Yeah.
You know, I went through a little bit of it, the list of stuff that I'm not willing to tolerate. I don't want to hear a damn word about Social Security.
No. Leave it.
Unless the only thing I want to hear about Social Security is that we are going to eliminate the ceiling on Social Security taxable income.
Yeah. That would be a nice thing. But that's not actually as important as the rest of it.
Right.
The rest of the list. Take care of the list first, then get rid of the, you know, ceiling.
Right. Well, you see, this business about not doing the continuing funding for veterans programs.
Oh.
As you noted, we've got shattered human beings coming back.
Yeah.
And we have a butcher's bill that we are not done anywhere nearly done paying. And you see, these conservatives who hate government think that they've really done it this time. They think they've broken the government so far that we can't possibly create programs to deal with these pressing problems. And we must show that we are the smarter of the bunch and prove that, yes, in fact, we can. We can insure every American against disease and accident and injury. We can do that. We can see to it that the people who have worn the uniform of this nation are adequately cared for when they come home. And by adequately cared for, I mean job retraining. I mean psychological and counseling services. I mean a roof over their heads if that's what they need. I mean medical care.
Yeah.
We've got to prove that it can be done, because you know what? Grover Norquist has not gone away. He didn't crawl into that box that has a little bit of the soil of his native Transylvania and pull the lid shut over himself. He is still out there preaching.
Oh yeah, the only way I will figure that these people are gone is if I can see their grave and then I can dance on it.
Yeah. They're not going to go away, and you know we're not. I don't know if I mean I've got some idea. I don't know about you or me or anybody else though. I don't know if we're ready for the conservative onslaught that is going to begin as soon as this Congress takes office. It's going to come at them from the White House. It's going to come at them from the court system. It's going to come at them from the freak minority members of the Congress now. And you remember how they wouldn't allow us to filibuster a judge?
Mm-hmm.
These bastards are going to filibuster more than we have ever even imagined.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And the only thing that scares me is I don't know if Harry Reid has the guts or the spine to stand up to these thugs.
That's what I'm worried about, is because he hasn't shown me much in the way of spine.
Well, and that's, again, I keep coming back to it. I'm not trying to be like a broken record or anything. That is entirely up to us.
If he, I have to tell you, he's going to be hearing from me a lot if he doesn't.
Well, no, see, I would disagree with you there, Susan. Don't give him a chance to doesn't.
Well, let me put this, okay.
You see what I mean? Let him know we've got his back right now.
Yeah, he'll be hearing from me beforehand. That's a good idea. I shall have to get on the phone Monday.
I think we all need to. Well, you know, they're out for Christmas, but, you know, January 4th, that's, you know, I don't know if there will be anybody answering the phones between now and then. I would hope so. But January 4th, they come back to work, and they have got to know that we will support them if they will stand up to these punks and thugs. Because it's going to be, it really, especially in the Senate with the majority being so slim, it's going to be nastier with these monsters in the minority than it was with them in the majority. We never had the guts to call their bluff on the filibuster, and now you can bet they're going to call ours, and we're going, oh, wow, you're going to filibuster the bill. Okay, we quit. That's not acceptable. That's not why they're there. That's not why they were put there.
Yeah. We're going to have to do a lot of work. We can't sit back and wait. We've got to jump all over these people.
And if we wind up with outcomes that we don't like, we've got to have the courage to look hard at ourselves, Susan, and wonder if they failed or have the guts to recognize that if they fail, it's because we did too.
Well, it won't be for lack of trying on our part.
Right. We have got to live in a place where failure is neither an option or an excuse. That's really all I can say on this. I believe in all that stuff I was taught in civics class, Susan.
Yeah, so do I.
And that means that the people are the sovereigns in this situation. And these are not elected leaders. I forget who the other talker is who has said this, but he's very right, or she. These are not our elected leaders. These are our elected representatives, and we'd better keep perspective on that. You know, find an... not just you. I'm not speaking just to you. You understand that. Find an issue a day. It'll take, you know, with computer technology being what it is, it'll take 5 minutes out of any given day for you to shoot out an email.
Yeah.
Or better yet, pick up the phone if you can afford to do that. That's all that America can ask of her citizenry is that we take time and bother to care enough to participate.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get as many people as I can.
And you know what? We need about a million of you.
One thing what people might do if they have have the software for it, print up the equivalent of business cards for the head-on. Hand them out to people.
Let them know that there's a place a home for their homegrown activism. Absolutely.
And you know, if you have publisher and you don't want to go to the trouble of Microsoft publisher and you don't want to go to the trouble of working it up, let me know. I can shoot you a file and all you'll have to do is print it up.
You think that's something we could put on the website?
Should be.
Maybe that's what we do. We've had that. Some of us have had that conversation in the past for creating an activism center.
Yeah.
And that would be a great start. Susan, I really appreciate all your thoughts.
You're more than welcome.
And you have yourself a wonderful evening and a great weekend.
You too.
Agnes sends big old hugs.
Give everybody a hug from me, too.
Okay, will do. You take care.
Yeah. And you keep my blood pressure up, and that's good.
Well, if as long as it's good, take care.
Hey, I'm Scott. I need to be mad.
If we're not mad, there's something wrong.
Right. Good night.
Bye now. Well, I guess, you know, I go back and forth, and I don't know. Sometimes I really get uncomfortable doing the sermonette thing and telling or creating the perception that I'm telling you what to do. I hope that I'm only reflecting what you already have figured out and what you already are engaged in. Because frankly, if I had, you know, if we're at a place where I'm telling you what to do, we're talking about some pretty simple stuff, and that's not real inspiring. Consider, please. I mean, I want to go back to this because it has meaning. The Corker creep, you know, the guy with the Girls Gone Wild daughter in Tennessee, has elected a former employee of Senator Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions of Alabama. The poor people of Tennessee have no idea what they bought when they bought into those Jungle Drums ads. The Republican Party was not capable of leading America. It wasn't capable of representing America. But they are darn sure going to be more than capable of ruining our efforts to save America. And I know all about the necessity of compromise. I'm not in a compromising mood. I was heartened by an article I saw either earlier this week or last week, with some comments by Vermont Senator Patrick Leahy, who is chairman or incoming chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And he said something like, George Bush shouldn't be scared. George Bush should be terrified. I hope that's not empty rhetoric. I hope there is reality to that. I hope that, God forbid, well, if a Supreme Court justice should go on to his or her reward, I hope it won't be one of the ones that we're counting on right now to hang on to this slim, slim, slim hope we have of a Supreme Court that will continue to preserve freedom. But if for some sad reason George Bush should get the opportunity to replace a Supreme Court justice, I have no problem whatsoever with a Senate Judiciary Committee that will reject one, that will reject two, that will reject three, four, five, ten, two, three, four, eight dozen nominees, rather than put another conservative fiend like Samuel Alito or John Roberts or Scalia or Slappy Thomas on the court. I hope you share those feelings. Because George Bush does not have the right to appoint another goon, another threat to democracy, to the Supreme Court. George Bush must have his wings clipped. You know, I talked earlier about the Employees Free Choice Act and raising the minimum wage. How are you going to feel when those things pass the Congress and he vetoes them? What's that going to make you want to do? Will it put you in the street? Will it send you to Washington? If he does get to replace or nominate a replacement for another member of the Supreme Court, and he nominates some right-wing, fascist, goose-stepping monster, can we work a little harder this time to stop him? Because on the progressive side of things, we worked awfully hard to stop Alito. But in the end, we got told that certain senators had received handwritten notes with coffee rings and donut sugar stains on them, and that really meant that Alito deserved to be on the court. Can we put an end to that? God, I hope so. Let's go to the phones. David from Tennessee is joining us. David, thanks for the previous information. Welcome to the program.
Well, you're quite welcome. I almost hated sharing the fact that our Mr. Corker, and I can never say that S word in front of his name, I gag. My hands become palsied trying to type the letters. It was just, you know, it was a cold heart moment when I heard that he had hired the chief of staff that had previously worked for Mr. Sessions as his chief of staff. And prior to being Mr. Sessions' chief of staff, he was a lobbyist for one of the larger ones. And prior to that, he was an assistant chief of staff for another ugly Republican. And before that, he was a lobbyist. So,
oh, that's a pedigree.
Oh, it's a total Republican pedigree. So, yes, we in the state of Tennessee have been saddled with a liar, a cheat, a blackguard. It's fill in the blank. But I wanted to go back, and I think anyone that heard her speak about this, Sue in Oregon was really revving up toward verbal pyrotechnics when she said the name of Gordon.
Senator Smith, yes.
Senator Smith. Well, let's give a little background just so everybody knows what kind of a Republican George Bush travels with and what kind of a sweetheart Gordon Smith is.
All right.
He's never spent much time after being born in the state of Oregon. His dad ran a vegetable processing and freezing co-op 150 miles up the Columbia River from Portland. His dad was in bad health. He made some bad business decisions. And the next thing you knew, Gordon, after living all over the United States, picking up a trophy wife, living off the money his father had made in good times, came back and whoops, he was faced with a failing business. And how did he address that? He immediately dropped wages, pushed every long-term employee out the door, went to every access point he could and hired illegal aliens. Within the state of Oregon, Gordon Smith holds the record for citations for employing illegal aliens. The state of Oregon knew that when he ran for public office as a senator. He was defeated once. He tried again. But this time, he connected himself to the religious right. In Oregon in the mid-90s, there was Measure 9. It was, in essence, a bash the homosexual bill. If you were acknowledged by any means, it could be a third person saying, I know that he or she is homosexual. You were prevented, among other things, from teaching in any public school anywhere in the state of Oregon.
What?
Yes. And it got because of the an extension of the, you know, the Christian right, it got onto the Oregon statewide ballot. Oregon voted it down. The consequence could have been, you're a 45-year-old woman, you've lived with another woman for 20 years, and you're the best teacher in a middle school. Somebody could say, I think she does things after dark with her housemate that aren't right. You're out of a job. So that's how Gordon Smith made his name and got into office. That's the kind of guy Gordon Smith is. He was prosecuted for his illegal use of aliens. And there was this one time after he was elected the employees in this massive vegetable freezing plant 150 miles up the Columbia River from Portland, Oregon, said we would like to consider having an employees association, translation, local union. When it got to Gordon, he shut the plant down at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. The word went out. We'll open again Monday. If we hear another word about this, there won't be a plant here. There were supervisors that spoke Spanish. In addition to that message, should you not have your tarjeta verde, we'll call the folks that send you home to Mexico ourselves. There's always more of you. You think it over till Monday and let us know what you think Monday morning. But he's a good Christian.
Well, David, you bring something to the fore, I think, and that is, in the midst of all this discussion, and this sort of dovetails with something our good friend Wayne has said from time to time, Republicans don't take off years. The time to beat Gordon Smith or Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions or Lamar Alexander is now.
You bet it is.
The time to find, if we have misgivings about Democrats, if we as progressives have misgivings about certain Democrats who like to call themselves conservative, the time to find his replacement is now.
That's exactly right. Now is indeed the time. There is not a permanent Democratic Party office in Sumner County, although they have a great website, and I encourage you to go to, just Google Sumner County Democrat. It's an inspiring little website. But we,
Sumner County, Tennessee?
Yep, just Sumner County Democrat. It's a really fine website because they reference Keith Olbermann and they reference Air America. Now, I'm not sure anybody would have thought that, but I'm going to find a permanent Democratic storefront, and I'm going to go in there and say I'm retired, I watch my money, but I've got time to come see the oldest person in this room. And if Harold Ford doesn't absolutely haunt the state of Tennessee until Lamar Alexander is up for election, I'm not going to write you a check that you will notice when I sign it.
Can I be a little bit pushy?
Sure.
How about finding that storefront and promising a few hours a week?
I got time.
I mean, you're dangerous.
As our good friend Wayne, sorry about the Steelers, Wayne.
Wait a minute, they won last night.
Yeah, well, they're way ahead of the Packers. Anyway, as Wayne says, yes, indeed, I am dangerous. And now I have a focus. I have a point on my spear. I think, personally, and you're right, the racist aspect of those ads hurt Harold Ford. The aspect that he hasn't spent as much time in the state of Tennessee as possibly he could have was amplified and worked to his detriment, I think, as much, possibly more. If that young man, and I take it as a compliment that it's gone around the state of Tennessee that he's Obama-like, great. Suits the heck out of me. I want that man to haunt the state of Tennessee from one end to the other. Big long state. You know, it's over 500 miles east to west. It's only 100 miles north to south. But
long trip from Kingsport to Memphis, isn't it?
Ooh, and it's worse to think about Mountain City to Memphis. I think it's something like 525 miles. Odd thing, the state of Tennessee. If you're in Mountain City, Tennessee, you're 100 miles closer to Montreal than you are to Memphis. But
Jesus.
Never mind the geography trivia. We've got to work. It's been said before. We've just been given a chance to get started. We've got to get started. By God, we've got to stay started.
Yeah, and I think part of that startup process, part of the benefit of that is the impact it can have on that element of our party that still exists, that thinks that you know, the center is a happy place to be. I can't begin to tell the number of jobs that we have in front of us. You know, it's been a month now, a little more, one day more than a month since the revolution.
It's going to take more than polite effort from the center to pull these bastards out of this ditch on the right. It's going to take some hard, old-fashioned jerk the rope until they scream from the left to make this one.
So, you know, if you can help man up that Sumner County office, if you can give them 5 hours once a week.
This really has some serious appeal because now I have a focus to it. You know, I have a target. I have a visualization now because I saw how close Harold Ford Jr. came. And he's got some serious within-the-state baggage to deal with. He is not his criminal uncle, but he's part of the Memphis, former Democratic, hard shell, been there for decades, political family.
Right.
He is not those folks. But a little bit of ad here, a little bit of whisper there, and to somebody in East Tennessee, he's as bad as that uncle of his that's going to go to a federal prison for taking insane amounts of money, you know, based on a handshake on three different videos. So we'll get over that. And the way to get over that, that man in front of 50, 60, 70 people at a time, and he's got 2 years to get it done. Well, he's got 14 months to really lay that groundwork and then campaign on that groundwork. Oh, my gracious, look at that top of the hour.
Well, you know, but I think the thing that we bring out of all this is that there are a lot of people out there, David, who may not recognize their own potential. And we're not talking about somebody working a 40-hour-a-week job, and we're certainly not, I mean, we're Democrats. We're not talking about paying anybody.
Oh, no.
But the thing is, if we want the change, it will only come if we are willing to work for that change.
You're exactly right. And several of us that have a few hours a week, you know, it adds up to a body. All I've got to do is find, you know, five or six more like me, and there's an entire person to staff that storefront.
Right, exactly. And it again, it's about being progressive. It's about being far enough away from the center to the left that you can drag the center back from that ditch on the right that you were talking about. And it can be done.
And it needs to be done. And you're a little student, you're much more than a student of the language. It shall be done.
Precisely. Precisely. David, thank you very kindly.
You're quite welcome.
Have a great weekend.
I shall.
I don't know what we're going to do with. I don't know what we're going to do without college football.
Oh, Lordy. I'll figure out something. I'll do my part.
All right. You take care.
See ya.
Bye now. And, you know, let me expand on this just a little bit as we go to the news. Can you go work for your county organization? Well, here's another one. While we're talking about progressive candidates to run for this and that, let's work on the base of the pyramid. Find that person right now that can run for county commission in 2 years. Find that progressive right now who can run for city council. Find that progressive right now who in 2 years can run for mayor. This is the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back.
Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
Yeah.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
This weekend, look to the skies for a rare phenomenon not to be repeated for 50 years. Jupiter, Mercury, and Mars will be 1 degree of each other, appearing to cuddle together just before dawn. NASA will try to launch the Space Shuttle Discovery Saturday evening, good weather permitting. Last night's launch was called off. Every time NASA cancels a planned launch, it costs the agency $500,000. McDonald's shares hit a 7-year high today following the restaurant chain's announcement of a 6.2% increase in same-store sales. McDonald's credited increased European sales in general and greater breakfast and late-night sales in the U.S. Volkswagen is recalling more than 300,000 VW Passats as a result of three different problems. The models being recalled are from the years 2005 through 2007. A survey of consumer confidence this holiday season finds it has decreased slightly in December. Consumer spending makes up 2/3 of overall U.S. economic activity. Light sweet crude ended trading today at $62.13 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was up 29 points and 12,307. The NASDAQ up 10 at 2437. The S&P 500 up 3 at 1409. And gold ended trading at $629.60 an ounce. Silver at $13.84 an ounce. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
There were a couple of things that happened on this, the final day of the 109th Congress, that are noteworthy. And really, they stand as a comparison of what you get with Republicans in the majority versus what you get with dedicated Democrats. Let's start with the pigs. The panel that was put in place after Mark Foley's nasty little IMs and emails were exposed, they issued their report today. And this panel, made up of a majority of Republicans, said that AIDS left male pages vulnerable to Mark Foley's improper sexual advances, even though the first concern surfaced more than a decade ago. Just the same, the Ethics Committee said Friday in its report that one witness testified he warned the head of the page board, Representative John Shimkus, a year ago that Foley was a ticking time bomb. But in the end, the panel said it found no evidence that any current lawmakers or aides violated any rules. And they recommended no sanctions. That's no sanctions against Denny Hastert, who knew. That's no sanctions against John Boehner, who knew. That's no sanctions against John Shimkus, who knew what was going on. Still, the report says that that it exposed a pattern of conduct on the part of a lot of people, quote, to remain willfully ignorant of the potential consequences of Foley's actions. Now, here's their excuse for not doing anything about it. Quote, some may have been concerned that raising the issue too aggressively might have risked exposing Representative Foley's homosexuality. There is some evidence that political considerations played a role in decisions that were made by persons in both parties. Jesus! Do you see what they've done? Do you see how they have used the excuse of Foley's sexuality to cover up absolute, gross, willful, wanton, nigh criminal negligence on the part of the Republican leadership? My God. On their last day there, and they still couldn't muster anything remotely approaching a conscience. The investigation suggested politics was a consideration. This from the Associated Press story. After Foley resigned, Shimkus told another Republican member of the Page board, namely Shelley Moore Capito of West By God, Virginia, that he gave Shelley his excuse for not telling the Democratic member of the Page board, Representative Dale Kildee of Michigan. He said, quote, "Dale's a nice guy, but he's a Democrat, and I was afraid it would be blown out of proportion." So when it comes, remember, when it comes to the well-being of children, a fear on the part of a dedicated partisan Republican that it'll be blown out of proportion merits more concern. Dig it? More concern than the well-being of children and young adults. Republican Doc Hastings of Washington and Judy Biggert, Republican of Illinois, oversaw the investigation. So once again, because it was issued so late, that means that nothing can be done about the Page program until the Democrats take control, which is okay by me in the long run, but it is further evidence of the fact that the Republicans just don't care if it can't personally enrich them. Now, compare that, if you will, please, to the last act of a good member of Congress who was beaten not in the general election but in her primary. Because in the state of Georgia, you can go and vote willy-nilly in a primary. If you're a Republican, you can vote in the Democratic primary. If you're a Democrat, you can vote in the Republican primary. It makes no sense. It makes me wonder what the point is of being a member of a political party. It's crazy. So, in the primary, Republicans ran to the polls to vote for the primary opponent of Cynthia McKinney. If I recall what I've heard correctly, I believe Cynthia was, until today, Mike Malloy's member of Congress. And he has always spoken well of her. And everything I've ever read of her makes me think well of her. So here's what Cynthia McKinney did with her last day in Congress. Cynthia McKinney introduced legislation. God or whatever thing, flying spaghetti monster, bless her, Cynthia McKinney introduced a bill today to impeach George W. Bush. Now, the Associated Press's Ben Evans notes dutifully, "The legislation has no chance of passing and serves as a symbolic parting shot not only at Bush, but also at Democratic leaders. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, D. Califf, has made clear that she will not entertain proposals to sanction Bush and has warned the liberal wing of her party against making political hay of impeachment." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Nah, counting to 10 didn't help. That was the act of a patriot. Ms. McKinney's act was the act of a person of courage and conviction. Ms. McKinney's act was the act of a person who took seriously the oath she swore. To the Constitution of the United States of America. So while the last act of the Republican Ethics Committee was to say, "Aw, shucks," to the entire Mark Foley scandal, one exiting member of Congress went out screaming. Not really, but at least went out honoring the Constitution. Ms. McKinney hasn't said much about her future plans. I can only wish her well. She honored her seat in the Congress, and she honored the members, the constituents in her district, while she was a member of the House of Representatives. You know, I hate the snide faux journalism of statements like this. She has hosted numerous panels on September 11th conspiracy theories and suggested that Bush had prior knowledge of the terrorist attacks, but blah, 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 blah. Conspiracy theories? You know, the accepted wisdom on September 11th is a conspiracy theory, that there was a conspiracy of some 20 or so potential Muslim hijackers, none of whose names show up on the passenger manifests of any of the aircraft. They're all conspiracy theories, aren't they? But that's shorthand for nut job. You know, if it had been Cynthia McKinney's personal belief that George Bush put on a black suit and a black suit and a black hat and planted little black bombs all over the World Trade Center, it would have been okay by me, because it at least meant that she wanted to make inquiry into why it happened. We still have not made that inquiry. And I'm guessing we're not gonna. And within the grand scheme of things that we need to get done with the incoming Congress, I'm more concerned with ending the war than finding out if George Bush wore a little black coat and a little black hat and planted little black bombs all over the World Trade Center. The war must end, and the next one must be stopped. But I honor Cynthia McKinney for having the guts to, in what she filed, look George Bush squarely in the eye and spit there. Good for you, Cynthia McKinney. Flying spaghetti monster speed. Or Godspeed. Or Goddess speed. Be well, Cynthia McKinney. We'll take a break and come back and take your phone calls. 877-443-2366. This is The Horn. I'm Bob.
Lights in shining karma tend your flame, and with love for armor they'll remain. Ever by your
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
Get us a webcam one of these days. You deserve to see Agnes doing the Stray Cat strut. It's something to behold, I'm telling you. I just got hit for that. Especially the part where they say, I walk right by with my tail in the air. That was precious. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program. Happy Friday.
Likewise. Same to you.
Thank you.
Well, I guess Cynthia McKinney, if she rode off into the sunset, wheeled in her saddle and did what I call the Parthian shot. A little good that it did. I just wish that she had kept a lower profile and had not gotten into that set two with that security guard, knowing that she would be in the sights of everybody if she had been proposing all these conspiracy theories about George Bush. And if she hadn't have gotten into that set two with that security guard, perhaps she may have been returned to her seat. I don't know.
Well, you know, she was shortly in the 2002 congressional election, she was voted out. She came back in 2004. But you've got to, you know, you've got to deal with, and I don't know, I'm not sure about other states, but I know it's this way in Alabama as well. You've got to deal with the bizarre primary electoral politics that she had to confront.
Georgia, correct?
Yeah. But in Georgia and Alabama alike, and a lot of other southern states as well, if you're a registered Democrat, you can vote in the you can vote in the Republican primary. If you're a registered Republican, you can vote in the Democratic primary. It's crazy. And so it was Republicans that threw her out in the 2006 Georgia primary.
Uh-huh. Well, like I say, if she's been proposing all these conspiracy theories against George Bush, then she would have known that they would have found some type of thing to, you know,
well, see, but the
leverage her out, and that would be, that's just basically politics, particularly if all the laws are in those states the way they are. I don't understand why that is, because that's just kind of nuts to me.
But see, the problem is, Jim, I don't think it's necessarily insane to suggest that George Bush had prior knowledge that we would likely be a target for that sort of an attack. Do you?
Well, no more than the FDR did about Pearl Harbor.
Well, for instance, when George,
after all, we had the cipher, the Japanese naval code, and we had the 14-part message already read before the Japanese could type it up in their embassy.
What was that? Climb Mount Tanaka or something like that? But no, what I'm getting at is when George went to the G8 summit.
Well, I've said about that before.
Right. They moved him to a ship offshore because they had direct intelligence that suggested that terrorists were going to use a hijacked aircraft full of fuel as a missile.
Well, then Condoleezza Rice says that she just could not envision that ever happening or being used as a missile. And I've often said on your program many, many times that that's just a poor man's Molotov cocktail. It costs less than $500,000 to destroy some of the most expensive real estate in New York City.
That's a cost-benefit analysis that America hasn't heard that often, and it's true, and it deserves to be bruited about a little bit, frankly.
But the trouble is, if things continue as they are, and this is just an aside here, they're not going to have to worry about what they're going to build at the size of the World Trade Center, because within X number of years, that part of Manhattan is going to be well underwater.
Well, there's that possibility.
That's
and there's the possibility,
that probability.
And that site is also, we're finding out more and more, downright toxic. The dogs that were used to search for victims are dropping dead.
Well, you had a lot of nasty stuff in there. I mean, you had a lot of that magnesium burning and stuff like that. And, of course, whenever you have that type of chemical interaction, it's just not very healthy.
Probably a considerable amount of asbestos reduced to fly ash.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what was flying out all over New York, because those buildings were built before they started the asbestos abatement program.
Well, what? The World Trade Center was begun in 67, 68, and completed in 73. Does that sound about right?
The plans were first established in 62. When they broke ground, I'm not sure, but I think they opened for business in, sometime in the 70s.
Well, it was new enough that the novelty of it convinced Dino De Laurentiis by 1975 that it would be a cool thing to redo King Kong.
Yeah, I was in New York and saw that. They did that during the summer of 70.
Did you see it when they had the big ape on top of the
building? Yeah, I saw that thing. Yeah, I watched it from afar. Uh-huh. I remember that. I used to go to New York every summer. And so, and I had friends who lived in the city then. And so, yeah, New York was a fun place back in the 70s, let me tell you.
No, I can well imagine.
But,
Once you get past the leisure suits and the polyester.
Well, I didn't see too many of those. Really, to tell you the truth.
No, I guess that's kind of late 70s.
No, I mean, basically all I saw were flannel shirts and Levi's, stuff like that. You know, not much of the other, but as far as the Congress, it started getting back to that. Well, let's just face it, you know, I don't think many of the members of our elected body are paragons of virtue. I mean, look at the fact that a lot of them can't even get a credit card in their own name, stuff like that. And as far as the cover up with Mark, what's his name? Foley.
Foley, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what did you expect?
Well, with this bunch, precisely. What? Yeah, sure.
I mean, what do you expect? Good Lord. I mean, you know, they're on their way out, and so a lot of them aren't coming back again, so they're going to try to, you know, just let it go and just say, well, you know, the guy had some problems. He was molested by a priest, and he's under psychiatric help, and so, you know.
Don't forget the part about he's an alcoholic now. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, these are all things that are used as credible modes of explaining aberrant behavior, and people subscribe to them. I mean, you know, that's what they do. So, I mean, the best thing to do is to, it's like that old program with David Frost. That was the week it was. It's over. Let it go. And try to uncover some of this stuff and see what's going on. And it's all, you know, methods of prophylaxis so that this can't happen anymore. And keep the young men away from bull feathers or wherever they were hanging out at. Yeah, I think Mr. Foley's been made an example of enough that, you know, that might not happen again for a year or two, hopefully. Of course, you know, Washington's a pretty wild town, and there are lots of things going on there. I live there, and I can tell you some things that you wouldn't believe. But anyway, I hope our Congress will be able to ameliorate some of the things. But I quite frankly don't think, number one, they're not going to end the war right now. That's just not going to happen.
But that does not change the necessity that we continue to demand that.
Well, you can demand all you want to, and that's fine. That's fine. But
well, for me, it's an act of conscience.
Well, act of conscience, whatever. I mean, you know, I think that is certainly your right, and I applaud you for it, and you know that's fine. But it's just not going to happen.
And right well, and by remaining silent, we guarantee that they won't.
Well, I didn't say that, but I'm just saying.
No, I said that. I you know, silence is acceptance. You know what I mean?
Well, under the law, silence is construed as compliance, and that's the legal definition of silence. But it's going to take us a while to extricate ourselves from that mess, unfortunately. And as far as universal health care is concerned, you know, that's something else that's almost a lost cause in this country, because I don't just, Bob, I tell you, but I just don't think it's ever going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you can't make these medical people give you attention, and you can't make them participate in a program like that. It's just not like the systems abroad in other countries where they have been brought into it, and of course those systems have been found to be seriously flawed, as you well know. They're not perfect.
No human system is going to be, but it is.
As far as universal health care is concerned, I don't think it's going to come about anytime soon.
There are models out there, and many of them are hybrids, Jim. The French model, the German model, the Swedish model, the Norwegian model, the English model, the Canadian model. There's a lot of different data to look at to suggest means by which we can make it work.
Yeah, but do you think that the established medical community in this country or this generation of practicing physicians are going to be amenable to that sort of thing?
Well, I've talked to a good number of physicians who actually are, because among other things, there's a lot of physicians out there who are tired of being told by HMOs what they can and cannot do, and they don't have near the trouble fighting. They don't have near the trouble getting treatment for people under Medicare that they have getting treatment for people under HMOs and various and sundry private health plans.
Well, HMOs have advice nurses, they have gatekeepers, and all types of things like that that are designed.
Yeah, and ultimately, an accountant decides whether or not you live or die.
Well, exactly. And so, I would hope that our medical community has enough conscience in it. But
there's been a number of physicians groups that have called for universal health care, Jim.
Well. But I can remember when medicine, and I have a lot of doctors in my family, when medicine used to be a way of life, okay?
Yeah.
Now, on the weekend, if you want to see your doctor, you can't call him. You have to go to the hospital.
Right.
What happened to that? And what happened? Where are all these doctors with such great consciences?
Well, that's a function of the medical education system, among other things.
Oh, that's a function of the doctor's own responsibility to his sense of responsibility to his patients. That's what that is.
Yeah, but I think specialization has a lot to do with it, too, because if you're the general practitioner who deals with coughs and sniffles, mostly what you do now is you've got a list of people, you've got a list, okay, these are the urologists, these are the dermatologists, and once you've handed them off, you have absolved yourself of your responsibility.
I'm talking about, for example, if you need a physician on the weekend or after hours, you can't call that doctor, or you can't have his answering service in many cases contact him. You have to have the hospital do it if you do that, or they tell you to go to the ER. Or if you call the physician's office after hours, they will tell you to go to the emergency room. And to me, that does not indicate any degree of compassion or observation of the Hippocratic Oath on the current types of physicians that we have in this country, because I view most of them as using their medical license as a ticket to lie, rob, cheat, steal, and steal.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Our medical communities, well, our medical system is 18th in the world. So I think France is number one. But basically, as far as I'm concerned, in most cases, they just suck.
Well, they do. U.S. News and World Report, which is a pretty conservative magazine, I don't really read it that much, they come out with a ranking of American hospitals every year that's considered to be the definitive ranking. And if you look at, you'll start, the best is a score of 1.0, and then everything below, and they do it specialty by specialty. And the one that I'm particularly familiar with, because we've dealt with them, is Cleveland Clinic, and they are number one in the world for heart treatment. Okay, and they have a score in the U.S. News and World Report ranking of around 1.0. The next one down is usually a score of 0.8 something or 0.7 something.
And who's in that slot? Do you remember?
No, I don't offhand. I think it's a West Coast hospital. But every year you'll see a ballyhooed report in the newspaper, and they'll reprint it for their own PR purposes, that Charleston Area Medical Center Memorial Division is among the top 50 heart hospitals in the country. But if you compare their ranking to that of Cleveland Clinic, Charleston Area Medical Center Memorial Division is like a 0.467. And that's what kind of, that's the divergence that you see between the very best and the people who consider themselves among the best. And that's one of the reasons that I think that's one of the arguments in favor of universal health care is trying to bring everybody up as opposed to driving everyone to the middle.
Well, I don't know exactly. Well, I'm not sure exactly what mechanism you would use to implement universal health care. I don't know how that would be done.
Well, I think one of the things you do to make it more
about the labors of Hercules.
Well, one of the things I believe you do to make it more amenable to the health insurance companies, who are the people who are stopping it, is making sure that they understand that we're not going to put them out of business and that they get to be part of the administration.
Well,
I mean, we already do that. We already do that with Medicare.
Well, maybe. I don't know, but with the existing HMO system and stuff like that, I don't think it's compatible with universal health care.
Well,
I really don't think it is, and I don't think a lot of these insurance companies would be willing to change, like a leopard, change their spots.
Well, then again, one of the other remedies, Jim, lies in the possibility of passage of the Employees' Free Choice Act. If you let people start becoming members of unions, union members have damn good health care.
Yeah, but the union membership in this country has been on the decline for a long time.
It's actually on the rise right now, Jim.
Well, I hear it's on the decline. I've heard that it's definitely gone down, down, down compared to what it used.
Oh, it did. It did until you got to the W administration, and it has begun to rise again simply because their overt war against working people has made people see the benefit of union membership. West Virginia, as an example, the union movement is growing here. It had in fact begun.
What
it had
about
been declining.
The other 49 states?
It's growing in some places and declining in others. The Service Employees International Union is one of the fastest growing unions in this country.
Do you know is it growing or is it still declining overall?
It's in a state. I think it would be fair to say it is in a state of stasis right now. It has the decline has leveled off, and the hope is that with things like the Employees Free Choice Act that we can see growth again. And if we see growth in unions again, we can alleviate a lot of the crisis that is healthcare in America without going to a universal system.
Well, I hope that works.
Well, I don't think you dispute the fact that a guy who works 60 or 80 hours a week should be afforded some kind of decent health care.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just talking about. All I'm talking about is just, are basically the terms of reasonable expectations. I mean, I don't want to expect things to happen that simply are placed on lists that are carelessly mislaid and never found again.
Well, I understand what you're saying there, Jim. But by the same token, I believe in a little bit of that of adherence to a little bit of the what was that quote that comes from Bobby Kennedy? Some people see things as they are and ask why. I see things as they should be and ask why not. Have I got that right?
You do.
I believe in that.
Well, he did too.
And granted, it cost him his life. But the thing is, we have holes. We have healthcare holes in this country.
Well, they've been placed there deliberately in order to favor certain interests, and you know that.
Sure. And that's
look at the for example, look at the HR1 and the types of lapses in coverage, and coverage is are in the highest bands of expense.
Yeah, and yet, if you're in the middle of the donut hole, you still have to keep writing the premium check.
Well, the only thing they're going to do to approach any type of, in my opinion, decency as well as equality and fairness, they're going to have to repeal HR1. That whole thing is going to have to go, and that is a very dishonest piece of legislation. It was passed in the middle of the night. People were strong-armed into signing it. One man's career was threatened, that of his son. And before they can, start to rebuild anything that's going to be fair and equitable, they're going to have to destroy the foundations of the old rotten structure and get rid of it. Because you can't build anything that's going to be fair and equitable on top of legislation and like HR1. There's no way you can even approach that problem without getting rid of that onerous bill.
Well, so you're advocating chucking it all together and starting over.
Absolutely, because that whole thing is just a snafu, and you know it. And it was designed, it was ran through Congress, and it was ran through in the middle of the night, as I said before. It is patently dishonest. It is patently in favor of the wrong side of the people, and rather than giving people health care, it pretends to give them health care, and in fact it does exactly the opposite. It denies and throws up more barriers and gives you all these multi-faceted insurance plans, which most of the people do not understand. And HR1 needs to go by the way. It needs to be repealed. Just like prohibition, period. It's wrong.
Unscrew it.
Well, it's just like prohibition. It needs to be repealed. And they need to start over. And they need to have people who are more compassionate and who are more decent and who are willing to allow a decent piece of legislation to completely replace that wart on the face of American legislative history. That's exactly what it is. It's just a suppurating canker. That's the way I view it.
Well, I think there's a lot to speak to the fact that you're probably correct. But I think it's easier to fix that if you're fixing that in conjunction with providing some sort of coverage to people. You know, what is it, 50 million uninsured Americans, and most of those are working people now?
That's what I understand. But in order to really get the root of the problem, they're going to, you know, if you want to get any type of equitable system, and if you want to get people who are amenable to looking at other models in other countries, HR1 is going to have to go completely.
But you know, you can't repeal it, but you're willing to say at the same time that the new thing has got to be, it's got to be repealed and the new thing passed at the same time.
Well, I think we can walk it through gum at the same time.
Yeah, precisely. Well, Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, that's just my position on that particular thing.
Sure.
Because I remember when that bill was passed, and it was just a horror. And so thank you, sir. You have a good evening.
Thank you very kindly. You staying warm and everything? Much snow on the ground over there?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I can see about 1,500 white lights beneath it.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, they're out burning and just burning through the snow, and it's kind of pretty.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing. Snow before January 1 is pretty.
All right.
Thank you, Jim.
Merry
Take
Christmas.
Care.
Have
All right, you too. Bye-bye. And on to our good friend Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, doing all right. If you wanted to you're talking there about redoing the medical system we have, I think the best bet you're going to have on that is essentially expanding something like the Veterans Administration, which, I mean, if you look at it, has probably the best coverage for the least amount of money.
Well, up until the Bush administration did everything within its power to destroy it.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. The way they generally ran the Veterans Administration, if you expanded that, even though, I mean, I know it's going to be a lot of people, that's still, I think, you know, because the one thing they do is, like, they have doctors that are under salary. You know, it ain't they charge their own price. It's like they're on a set price. You know what I mean? So, but here or there. Now, did you see the thing tonight? Like you've been talking, it's like, isn't it amazing how, well, some people didn't do the right thing, but of course we ain't going to charge nobody in this Foley case. Like, you're just kind of sitting there going, well, shoot, why did he even have the investigation?
Well, yeah, why bother?
I mean, did you see Doc Case?
Well, they set out in this investigation not to find anything, and they certainly didn't find it.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like, well, we looked around, we saw, yeah, a lot of people did stuff wrong. We ain't going to charge anybody with anything. No.
No, they're still in Congress. They're some of the few that we actually managed to hang on to.
Well, the thing that amazes me is, well, let's see now. We know that between Denny, Boehner, and was it Reynolds, somebody told some lies during the investigation.
Well, Denny, Boehner, Reynolds, and Shimkus.
Yeah. Because, I mean, some of them said, we told you this and such, and the other one says, no, nobody told me that. So one of the others is lying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it really wouldn't be worthwhile trying to prove one Republican was a liar. And I don't know. Maybe this is a tacit acknowledgement that, yeah, we're liars.
What was it? Reagan's old 11th Amendment?
Yeah, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican.
I guess that's what this next step is.
Evil old bastard.
Well, you know, I also found out something tonight. I was hearing, and I hadn't heard this, that apparently when the people went to start this whole thing with the Iraq study group, that apparently the person who had to kind of sort of give the final approval to do it was apparently Condi. And apparently one of the things Condi says, well, she'd agree to it as long as you only look forward, you can't look back at anything.
Yeah, you can't talk about what a screw up it was starting it out to begin with.
And you know, it's one of those things. It's sort of like, well, yeah, you can only read half the read the front page. You can't look at the back page. No, it might have something in there we don't want you to look at.
Yeah, you got to start out reading volume two. You can't bother yourself with volume one. Well, you know, it started out with Rudy Giuliani on it, for the love of God.
I know. Well,
you know, and he came out yesterday or day before saying it would be a terrible mistake to remove troops from Iraq.
Well, it's like we said before. It's amazing, like when you listen to the talking heads on the cable shows. It's like every time you hear them talk about something that's going on, they go, well, and of course we know the president didn't know anything about it. And you're sitting there going, how do you know that? You know, I hear them talk about, you know, like, you know, we know that such and such, you know, was I'm trying to think of the right wording on this, where, you know, we know that something happened, but of course we know, you know, that if anybody did anything wrong, we of course know it wasn't the president. So he, of course, was lied to. How do we know that? As far as I know, he's lying. And you all are starting off with the, you know, it's like, you know, it's like the old saying, you know, you're starting off on third base and thinking you hit a triple, you know. It's like, let's not go into this thing already decided, well, that we know he hasn't told a lie. How do we know he hasn't told a lie? You know, it's sort of like you guys are giving him a free pass before he started to play the game.
It's one of those courtroom tricks. There's if you watch your courtroom dramas, you'll hear this from time to time. They'll start something like that, and the other lawyer will jump up and say, "I object. He's assuming facts, not in evidence."
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this is. Well, you know, it's obviously clear that George Bush, you know, wouldn't say poop if he had a mouthful. Well, no, that's not obviously clear.
Well, you know, it's like every time I hear this, I go, okay, now let's see. Now, let's first of all, let's pull up the PNAC and read PNAC again before we start this thing. And then every once in a while I hear different people run the commercial, you know, the thing with the guy who is the biographer, you know, the one they fired for George W.
Yeah.
You know, where the thing with Cindy Sheehan, where she's talking about it, you know, the thing where he essentially says what he was going to do when he had the power. It's like, let's read these first. Then let's have the discussion. You know, it's like I say, we aren't going to go ahead and give him a free pass before we even ask the first question.
Well, God bless William Shakespeare. He remains relevant to this day. What's the phrase, Luke? What's past is prologue.
Well, the one I always go with is, I'm not sure where the sources are. It's always attributed. My first time remember it from Harlan Ellison saying that he said, you know what? If you don't remember the past, You're cursed to repeat it again and again.
Yeah, that's George Santayana. Mm-hmm. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Exactly, exactly. Luke, got to run on. I got one more call I want to hit.
Bye. Y'all have a good evening.
You have a good weekend.
Bye.
Bye now. And we haven't heard from our good friend Chris in Alabama for eons and eons. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Mediocre, but hey, that's another call.
Yep. I'll be here all the week.
Let's
try the ribs.
Hey, tell you, a while back I read Paul Rykoff's book Chasing Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't recommend books too often, but boy, I tell you, it shook me down to my feet, and it made me so mad that I couldn't cry.
Mm-mm-mm.
I tell you, that book is,
well, it's reality.
Boy, it is. Oh my goodness gracious alive! And then you get this report, and then you see the reaction. And then you think, my God, Rush Limbaugh has turned on Ed Meese. The world has stopped revolving. The bucket of lies just isn't going to do it anymore.
Phew.
There's some things you thought, okay, this will never happen, so just write it down and put it in a drawer.
Okay. Yeah. And it did.
And it did. And it did. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Well, this has been one more week.
Kind of glad to see the end of it.
Oh, this has been one more
week. I can't, you know, I've got a buddy who refers to New Year's Eve as amateur night. You know, because that's when the people who don't drink and don't know how to drink decide that, by God, they're going to go out and drink. And I generally, you know, I stay home on New Year's Eve. I don't get loaded. Don't particularly care to. But there is something about 2006 that, and I realize that New Year's and things like that, utterly artificial.
Politicians gone wild.
But I'm, boy, you know, today we got rid of the Congress. We've got, 31 minus 11, I said. We got 27 Congress-free days.
Rejectorial math. God, line them up and pop them with a pooper scooper.
Yeah, but they're, you know, they're gone, and I, you know, I've got to maintain some hope, Chris.
Well, you know,
I got to hope that things are going to be different, but you know, but again, it's a matter of, you know, hope in one hand and in the other, and see one which one fills up first. The only hope I have for change and improvement and moving forward out of this new Congress is entirely dependent upon the willingness of me and you and people like us to get behind them and absolutely stand there poking them with a sharp stick, going, go forward, go forward. We did not we didn't elect you to sit still. Go.
Yeah, I kept meaning there's been a lot going on here. I haven't called in a while. The lady that you talked to from down in Florida, how did she do?
She got beat. She got thumped.
She got trounced.
So did Clint Curtis.
But and Tammy Irons, you know, who was the first woman to ever hold the seat here.
Mm-hmm.
She won the first time. She won again.
Well, good for her.
She's got elected to the full term this time.
Good.
She's just that dirty old nasty William Smith Republican. He tried all his crap again, and guess what?
Went to school with that creepy man.
Didn't work.
Yeah, good.
And she's down there for four years this time, so I'm so proud of her. I just can't think straight.
Wonderful. Now we got to do what we got to do is teach Democrats in the South to be to honor their liberal heritage.
You were talking about how, you know, the unions are coming up and getting more powerful. I think everybody thought, you know, we've got a Bush in there. We're really going to do this. I think it has just been an absolute open revolt. It is, nothing has been accomplished that they wanted. Nothing has been achieved. And who is going to turn on their friends more than somebody like that?
Well, they will eat their own if you press them hard enough.
And, you know, Senior Bush can cry all he wants, but he's going to be up around the bandstand when, I'm not going to say it, I'm going to be polite, gets the nomination, maybe. And, you know, and W can go back to dealing in rock and can campaign for him. And, you know, maybe he'll run, maybe Jeb will run, maybe he won't. But, oh, God, please, Hillary, don't run. Oh, God, we'll see. But since I talked to you, you got to meet Barack Obama.
Yeah, I did.
How was that?
I'm not willing to say that he is the anointed that so many people say that he is.
Really?
He's certainly not anybody I would call a liberal. I would be hard-pressed to call him progressive.
He's a professional.
He's a really moderate.
Is he a velour in a jeans world?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that. I mean, some of his rhetoric sounds right. But he hasn't figured, you know, he gave that audacity of hope speech in 2004 at the Democratic Convention, and suffice to say that is the high water mark of Barack Obama thus far.
Well, the proof is in the pudding. The talking and the walking and two different things.
And of course,
you start out in the middle of the road. Where can you go?
Exactly. Then you know you can't stand there because it's mighty dangerous.
Boy, I tell you, the searchlights hit you from both sides when you're there.
Yeah, and then you can't see any direction to move in. The fact of the matter is, the anti-Barack machine is cranking up with almost the same level of just bloodthirsty hatred that they've already put into the anti-Hillary machine.
Well, I saw Lewis Black on Larry King. You know, that Lewis Black is some political theorist of any kind. And he said it, and whether it's true or not, I don't know, but he said you will never see a woman or a black man elected president. It's not going to happen.
In our lifetimes?
I don't know if it's true or not. It may be true. I don't know.
Well, you know, like I said, I forget who the commentator was, but I ran across it a couple of days ago. The right wing is already coming up with some really, really ugly name calling. This one nasty woman... has taken to referring to Senator Obama as a Half-Rican.
Well, you know, they don't have to get white people out there. Remember that black guy, the campaign guy was running for senator?
Yeah, Vernon Robinson.
I remember him.
Yeah, he was thankfully stomped as well. Chris, it's so good to hear from you. I hope everything starts going better or is going tolerably. We got to get out of here, though, because we're at the end of the show.
Well, hey, stray cat strut, baby.
All right, man.
All right.
Later. Happy holidays to you guys. Our good friend Chris in Florence, Alabama. That's it. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We'll be back here Monday evening. We've got a conservative coming on the show Monday evening, Judge John Wilson, author of... where's the book? Hot House Flowers. Yeah. This gentleman believes that Americans are people are like well-cultivated flowers living in a hot house, and Mexicans are weeds. No, I'm not kidding. The show was produced this evening by the lovely, talented, and beautiful Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, engineered by John Fox. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Every show on the Horn happens because there are several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters who get up every day and go and build the American dream in supporting this network. They are helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
Listening to the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.